Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. Ah, the chat box is rumbling already. Daniel Cronin, J-Rob, El Bandito, Gunashai 77, they're all there. Joshua Page, oh, the Devil's Advocate is having a moan. Hello, Devil's Advocates. Lazy Python, Jeffrey O'Hara, and 235100, formerly Noza, Medi. Oh, who else? Maybe I'll say, Guardian Dundee, J-Rob, the McManus, Pedro McManus, K-Man Arsenal forever. All the favourites are there. Yaz Guna. Hello, all. Yeah, we played Man City today. So we're going to talk about that in a second. Right, before I introduce the boys, I just want to give a quick shout out to Ellis Mel and his dad. Hey, Ellis, I hope everything's good, pal. Best wishes to your dad. Keep the fight going, bro. We have the Colonial Canal. It's Jason Schrader.
Ah, Jason, how are you today? Well, I won't start off with that. Good to be back on. Sitting here hoping for a meteor to take out Stamford Bridge. As I think everyone would agree with that. Ready to get into some meat of this match. And for everybody out there today playing What's the Canon Drinking, it's an Oktoberfest from a local brewery. So that's if you've got that on your bingo cards, congratulations. You win nothing.
Oktoberfest. Ooh.
Yeah.
And it's November. You're just
it
wild.
Is.
Just wild. Wild, mate.
I'm a trendsetter. I'm a trendsetter.
Damn right. And, of course, we have the magnificent John Welsh. John, say hello.
All right, Jace. All right, both Jasons, in fact. Double Jason action. I've got a Jason sandwich today, so I'm very happy.
I'm not being funny. Two Welshmen, two Jasons. Or as Mr. Shredder said earlier on, a ginger beard, a shit beard, and a Welshman.
That's the start of a good joke, that is, yeah.
Yeah. Norma Ott is in the house. Jove82, Bradley Tucker. Right, let's get this thing started. Lineups. John, I'm going to come to you first. Coughlin in the back three. It will be no Lacazette. What did you think?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. When it was tweeted out, it was shown as a back four at first, which, if you just deal with the Coughlin thing first, I actually thought if that was the original plan, obviously it wasn't when the game started, but when I saw that, I thought, okay, three men in midfield, this makes sense. Okay, you're sacrificing a little bit in the system. I think everyone's kind of looking for the point in the season, when does he eventually switch to a back four? We knew we were going to probably get overrun a little bit. They're going to have a lot of the ball man. So Iso putting the extra man in there seemed to make sense. No Lacazette was odd. You spent a lot of money on him. It's a bit of a dent in his confidence, maybe, to not play against, you know, who are, you know, the team at the moment who look like, not running away with the league, but, you know, certainly look like the favourites. So it's the biggest game of the season. But then, as it turns out, obviously it's a back three and it's not a back four. We see Coughlin in at centre back. Very surprising. I actually think he did all right, to be honest. Considering it's not his position, I actually think he did quite well. We made some really good tackles. As for the Lacazette thing, I mean, you could say it worked because he came on and got a goal, but, you know, I think what it came down to is he stuck with the, you know, the 3-4-3 system, and I don't think Arsene trusts having both Ozil and Sanchez as the two wide men, because I don't think he's convinced they're both going to come back and give enough cover defensively, which is really big in a game like this. So, like, I'll give him credit for that, because at least seeing that, I think, is sensible. Whether he should have started Lacazette or not, I think he should have. But then it's, which one do you drop? Do you drop Sanchez or do you drop Ozil? That's up for him to decide. As for bringing in Iwobi, I think it's a case of there really isn't anyone else. You could maybe push Ramsey up and put another man in midfield in place of Ramsey and have him as one of the attacking wide men, because you know he's got the engine, he'll run back and forth all day. I think this is the sort of game, if Welbeck was available, he would have started as one of the wide two, because you know he's going to put a shift in and probably would have started over Iwobi. But yeah, it was a bit of a surprise before the game, and I was kind of, like I said, waiting to see, is Coquelin actually playing midfield or is he playing in the back three?
Yeah, it did surprise me. Jace, your thoughts on it? You know, I got to be honest, look, everybody knows I'm no fan of Coquelin. I thought he was okay.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, when he's on the ball, he makes Per Mertesacker look like Maradona. You know, he's awful on the ball. and that affects you being able to play out of defence. Yeah. And I felt it will be... It's really tough. I don't want to be harsh on a young player, but he doesn't offer himself enough. He doesn't offer himself enough. There's no out ball for the midfield. Sanchez up top has got nothing to come back to. And I think Lacazette deserved a start today. I can see why he's played Sanchez for his explosive pace, but what do you think?
No, I can understand why he played Sanchez up top. I have no real issue with that. But I don't understand what you think Iwobi brings that's better to this match than Lacazette. Maybe it's just the factor of he's still young and somewhat unknown and unpredictable. But yeah, the lineups came out. I was hoping we would play four at the back and three in the midfield, sort of like everybody else, but wasn't the case. And yeah, I mean, I do think Coquelin had some really good tackles in there, some really clutch tackles throughout the match as well. But then we also saw him take the ball and run into his own penalty area with it backwards, trying to get away from a defender, which basically I can do that. If Arsenal wants to pay me half of what Coquelin's making, I can do that for them. That's great. but I just, it was a really sort of interesting. You've also the selection, though, even of Coquelin over Elneny, who Elneny's been playing in that position in Europa League, so he's already got the experience sort of at that position in matches. Why not put, if you're going to play a center mid in that central part of defense, why not Elneny? I don't quite understand what Wenger was thinking there. While we lost and we allowed three goals, I think it's better than a lot of folks thought it was going to be. When you saw the lineup, you thought if we don't get it spot on today, it could become really bad. And between, again, thinking that Iwobi can offer more than Lacazette does, and I know people slate him because he's young and he's gonna make some mistakes and he's not the quickest, but the fact you don't even have Rob Holding, who's held himself very well in some of our bigger matches, really, really sort of stepped up. The fact he wasn't even on the bench, and we didn't have a single center back on the bench, and don't tell me that Debuchy is a center back. You can shut your effing mouth right now with that stuff. Just puzzling. Absolutely puzzling. I don't want to get too much into the manager here, but there are just sometimes when you just got to question, like, I don't really understand your methods. And granted, while you should explain yourself, you're not going to, because he's just not that type of manager. But just there are definitely times when I think he brings this sort of ire on himself. And the fact that you pay, what was it, £52 million, £53 million for a player like Lacazette and not play him in your biggest matches. Don't quite get that. And maybe he still thinks he's transitioning, but I think at some point you just got to let the player learn on his own and stop trying to protect him so much.
Do you think he's chosen Alexis ahead of Lacazette up top because of his pace?
No.
John?
No, I don't. The reason I say is because you don't necessarily need a ton of pace to really beat John Stones and Otamendi. You don't have to have that pace up there. And the way that we played today, we knew it wasn't going to be, we knew we weren't going to be breaking a whole lot. We were going to try to keep the ball when we had it. He had come out and said that in all of his press conferences. So it's even more baffling the fact that you say that you're going to try to enforce yourself and impose your gameplay on a team and then sort of set up for something completely different. Again, I don't quite understand the reasoning behind that. I could understand why he would think, hey, it'd be good to have some extra pace in there, and while yes, Lacazette's not fast, I mean, he's also not Giroud. I mean, he can still outrun a player or two, especially a guy like Stones.
Yeah, I just think he's gone for the pace there. I mean, I think Lacazette's pace is all in his top 2 inches. You know, he thinks very quickly. He's in the positions he needs to be in. Yeah. John, okay, the game started off pretty quickly. We attack, we lose the ball, there's an Aguero effort. But we started the game with some proper intent, didn't we?
Yeah, I thought we started okay. Go on, sorry, mate, go on.
No, go on.
I thought we started okay. You know, it was obvious that we weren't going to have a ton of the ball. You know, we didn't try to... we approached the game in a seemingly sensible way, in the trying to sit deep, compact, and break at times. And it's nice to see, and that's where you get the frustration with Arsenal, is that, and in particular Arsene Wenger, is every so often you'll go into a game like this. He did it a few years ago against City.
But stop for a second. Chubber Akpom. Don't be a dick. Just stop being a dick. Okay? If you want to be a prick, we'll treat you like a prick. Now behave yourself. Carry on, John.
I thought we started okay. Look, City are a very, very good football team. They've got class players, and it doesn't matter how well you play, they're going to make chances. They're going to have a few chances in the game. They're just that good. So you kind of accept that going into it, but we look quite disciplined. People were putting tackles in. Mesut Ozil was tackling players. You know, the plan was clearly sit deep, try and win the ball back, nick it when we can, and then try and, you know, get up the pitch quickly. Obviously, it didn't work out, but I thought the players looked like they were approaching the game with the right manner and right kind of attitude. There were some sloppy passes and, you know, people were losing the ball. But I put part of that down. I saw a lot of tweets about certain players, and one in particular, obviously, we will get onto in Sanchez. You know, giving the ball away too much, and oh, it's all this player's fault, that player's fault. While I agree, our passing wasn't at our best. Let's be honest; it hasn't been all season. This is not like this is a one-off, like it's never happened before. It's been all season. This has been going on. Our passing hasn't been great, and you also have to take into the account that Man City are a team that press very high and press very quickly. And they do it in bursts. And when they do, it's not one player pressing you on the ball. It's two or three. And you get swamped and you get pressured. And you have to move the ball on quickly, because the way they move their team, if you lose it and you're surrounded by three, they can just take you and a couple of players out of the game. So it's easy to lose the ball like that. But I thought we were okay. You know, and it was kind of, I was of the attitude of, if we can get to, you know, half time at 0-0, maybe we get a chance here and there, then I'll happily take it. You know, I wasn't expecting to come into the game and go, we're going to dominate it and, you know, and play our style of football. Not that, you know, we don't have a style, I don't think, at the moment. But, you know, I didn't think we were going to play nice, pretty football and pass it around them all game.
And then I agree. I mean, I can see, you know, there's a lot of sort of anger in the chat box. By the way, Pedro McManus, we're asking that later in the question section. Good question. Man City have been by far the best team in the league to date. Okay? Everybody's kind of forgetting this at the moment. They have been top, top quality.
I don't think it's just the league. I think even in Europe as well.
Like, yeah, yeah.
They've been ridiculous. Yeah.
Look what they did to Napoli the other day. Yeah. And Napoli have been playing some great stuff. Yeah. So I think, you know, we have to take that into account. We're away at the best team in the land at this moment in time. And this is where I'm going to come on to you, Jace. So we saw passage of play where we had a Sanchez free kick, where from 35 yards out, he shoots a goal. The most fucking pointless free kick I've ever seen in my life. Okay? Absolutely pointless. Then we have a Rambo interception. Ball to Sanchez. Sanchez, it wasn't the best pass to Ozil, unfortunately. So Ozil, you know, I'm not having a pop at Ozil here, but a poor effort on goal. You know, we're creating sort of a bit of momentum, but then we're wasting it. You know,
yeah.
Surely we have to be a bit more responsible when we create these chances. Go.
No, you're 100% right. That's why I think, and I'm sure we'll come on to it more a little bit later, but just a player like Lacazette brings a much more clinical technique than I think any of the rest of our team offers. And whether you know, obviously with the shooting, but when you look at some of the passing that, especially today, like John was mentioning, it's not just a one-off, but it just seemed, you know, the pass to Ozil there didn't lead him enough, so he had to check up. That allows defenders to get back. There's just so many sort of it's just we're a yard or two off on everything, and it's all over the pitch as well. Specifically with our passing, we're just off on every single ball. And what that does is that takes some of the space away that we can use. That takes some of the takes our pace away as well. Our players having to slow up to get passes, and whether it's, you know, Ramsey to Sanchez or Sanchez to Ozil or whoever, it's not crisp. We sort of still seem like we're stuck in a preseason rhythm, and we're unable to truly find like a great way to break down our players. And I think that the shot because it was funny because they pulled that back after we took it too early with trying to play it quickly to Kolasinac out at the out on the left, and they pulled it back, and then he just takes the shot. As soon as he blew the whistle, he was running up to take that shot, and I just was like, okay, like you're just gonna do your thing. That's cool. Like, don't worry about anybody else. But I think that's indicative of our team as a whole. Is we're a wasteful team. We don't take advantage of possession. We don't take advantage when we have leads. Luckily we've been on a good run of form recently. Like, don't get me wrong, but you know, we're not cutthroat. We've said it for years now, and I think it's a top down thing. It's not just a Wenger thing. I think it comes from Kroenke. Isn't necessarily as cutthroat as we would like. Obviously, Gazidis is sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place with Kroenke and Wenger. And then Wenger wants us to just, you know, wants to try to let the players express themselves and not force it. But at some point, we've got to become ruthless, and we've got to understand that you can't let opportunities like the ones we let go today slip by your fingers or slip through your fingers and still expect to get points, especially off of top teams like this. And I don't understand, you know, why we've had to continue to say, I've said this so many times before on so many different radio shows. And I think that's part of the big frustration with fans is just the fact that we're not clinical. We're not ruthless in front of goal. We don't take our opportunities. And I think that comes down to an attitude problem is the fact that we know we have talent, and so if we waste an opportunity, we go, well, we'll get another one. It's fine. We'll get another one. Well, against teams like Man City, you may never get another one. You know, there are going to be times when it's not always easy for you to go out and just, you know, take 15 shots on target and score two goals. You're only going to have four shots, and you got to make them count. And I don't know what we got to do to find that ruthlessness and that sort of clinical finishing ability in front of goal, but it's not just this game that it's hurt us. It's been over the last few years. I think that's probably a larger indictment upon the club from you know, the top on down.
Yeah. Okay. No. I don't disagree with you, John. Your opinion on our wastefulness. I mean, for me, the Sanchez free kick. You know. I look at him and I think, you're such a talented player, but if I'm Pep Guardiola, there's no way I'm touching the fucking barge pole. I get end product out of Sterling, end product out of Sane, end product out of Silva, end product out of KDB, Gabriel Jesus, and I've got Aguero. Why do I need you? Because to be honest with you just piss me off. You know, yeah. Doing stuff like that. Go on, because I know you're a big Sanchez fan, and you relish the talent, but surely stuff like that, you know, costing.
Yeah, today he was really poor, like really, really poor. And I don't hide that. I had an argument with someone on Twitter, as you do, because, you know, why wouldn't you pick an argument with a stranger on the internet? I put a tweet out saying, you know, at halftime, Dagger's out for Alexis already. You know, easy scapegoat. And he is, and he was very poor, and he was probably the worst player, arguably the worst player on the pitch for us today.
Before halftime, John, before halftime, he had already had 15 giveaways.
Yeah.
Or 16, sorry, 16 giveaways. He had 68% pass percentage midway through the second half.
Yeah, I think
I don't think it's scapegoating at this point. I think he's a poor passer of the ball, and we've let him ride for way too long.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think the thing is, right, everyone still looks at Arsenal, especially the fans, and this is something I said about in our group. I said, you know, sometimes you just have to accept the team's better. The other team we're playing is better than we are. We still look at Arsenal as a club that moves the ball nicely, and we play the pretty football when we pass really well. We haven't been that for a long time. And Alexis isn't actually that type of player at all. He's very individual. He's not the best passer in the world. He can pull off amazing passes, but he's not ding, 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 you know, little 1-2s everywhere. It's not what he's best at. So I think people overrate his passing in the first place. These are not excuses, by the way. I do think he was the worst player on the pitch for us today. He was really poor. The one thing I will say in his defence is you're playing up front on your own. The moment you get the ball, you have John Stones, Otamendi and Fernandinho on you, and you have no help whatsoever around you because the Arsenal team's so deep, which they should be because, you know, you've got to defend against the team, but no one was getting up to help him. You saw in the second half when Lacazette came on, we changed the system slightly. We had an extra man in midfield, and there was a lot better movement and more options. And whoever was getting the ball further forward was had an option and someone to pass to. And Alexis did actually do better in the second half because he had more people around him, I thought, even though he also dropped
much deeper in the second half.
And he moved to the side as well and not through the middle. Yeah. And that's not an excuse for him because I thought he was really poor today and his decision-making was bad. As for the idiots who said he was intentionally giving the ball away... everyone's entitled to their opinion. That's cool. I disagree with people about football all the time. Certain players who's, you know, what their best possession is and the position and all that kind of thing. But one thing I will say, if your opinion is that he's giving the ball away intentionally, you're a fucking idiot. That's my opinion. You are a fucking idiot. I just wanted to get that out there.
But also, you've never watched him play before because he always gives the ball away.
I do not have an issue with a striker. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It's especially against a team like City. If you give the ball away and you're in their final third, you're going to lose the ball there a lot. You're going to turn over the ball there quite a lot because you're trying to make something happen. You're trying to do something with it. If he loses the ball on the edge of the 18-yard box, and they then take the ball 80 yards up the pitch and score a goal, is that Alexis Sanchez's fault? Or is it the 10 players who are behind him who fail to make a tackle? You know, it's frustrating he's lost the ball when some players might have run up and be a little bit caught out of position. But there's still plenty behind him that should. So I don't think you can label all the chances that Man City got in the game on him giving the ball away high up the pitch. I think that's ridiculous. But his decision-making was very poor today. And there is clearly a few players in the team that do not, I think, get on great with Alexis. I think Aaron Ramsey is one. I don't think them two in particular. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether they don't like each other or whatever it is, but it's starting to show on the pitch now because there was quite a few times, and then it wasn't just this game. It's happened already a few times this season.
Bear me a second, John. Sorry. Yeah, I'm 2-3-5-100. Okay, I'm sorry. You just need to look at the match stats.
Yeah.
The match stats tell the story. You can have a go at Ramsey all you want here. And I don't think Ramsey had a particularly great game today. As a team, I thought we were disjointed. I thought the selection of Coughlin centre-half and Iwobi cut our options down a massive amount. You know, Coughlin is not good on the ball. He doesn't distribute well, whereas Pear does. Iwobi is not the show and go guy. He's not there showing everybody, showing himself and being brave in the way certain players do. And I think that, you know, part of the reason for giving the ball away is down to that. I thought Ozil worked quite hard.
Mm.
But it was a frustrating game because we didn't keep the ball. But we kicked off the game with a decent press, didn't we? And so did they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to mention that Ramsey Alexis thing in particular. There was a few times it's happened this season.
Yeah.
Ramsey's had the option to pass to Alexis or someone else, and the obvious and most likely correct ball has been Alexis, and he hasn't done it. And Alexis has the same thing as well today. And the problem comes, like you're saying, Jace, when your options are limited, if you are the man up front or furthest forward with the ball and you're waiting for a runner, so you've got someone to lay it off to, Ramsey's always going to be one of those people because that's his game. He gets forward. If those two aren't getting on well and he don't want to pass to him, he's waiting for another player. And like you say, Iwobi isn't getting forward and isn't showing enough. Ozil will, but he's the sort of guy who wants to not really run beyond you. He wants to come behind and receive the ball and for you to turn and run. And that's very difficult when you've got three players around you trying to win the ball back, and then there's the midfield of like Silva and De Bruyne in between you and Mesut Ozil as well. So this is not, I see a couple of people in the chat box. I'm not defending Alexis. I thought he was really poor today. He was, you know, it was very disappointing. But it's not just him. And to think that it's just today he's doing this, he's always giving the ball away. Always.
Yeah.
It's part of, it's frustrating. It's part of his game. And it's something that, as fans, we've accepted because he scores lots of goals and he makes something out of nothing, which is why a manager will put him in his team, because he will give you, for as much as he can give the ball away, he'll come up with a moment of magic, beat four players and put it in the top corner.
I do. Yeah. Can I just mention on this, the one thing...
Let me 1 second before you do it. I'm not sure. I think Mr. Devil's Advocate could be Alexis Sanchez's mum.
Defends him enough.
I'm not sure what game he's watching, but it's a different one to everybody else. Go.
No, I think with Sanchez, even when he was dropping deep today, there are a couple of times, if you notice, one time in particular, God, he got the ball 10 yards in the attacking half. And because he's trying to do so much, he wants to do so much and he wants to create and he doesn't feel like he has an outlet and all that tired stuff because he doesn't trust his teammates because he's a selfish prick. We get it. He turns, takes another touch, takes a juggle, turns again, takes another touch, takes a juggle. He's 15 yards in our half now.
Yeah.
And he's got two players pressing him. Get rid of the ball. Get rid of the ball. Just and with him, it's almost like Chuck. And granted, people are going to go, well, he didn't have an outlet. Well, he was right beside Kolasinac, our defenders at that point. He had outlets. The problem is as a player, he's got to just accept these are his teammates now. He needs to get rid of the ball when he can. And I think that's the biggest frustration is he tries to do so much. And yeah, it's great that he cares and he tries and he's passionate and he's always, you know what, but there's a time when it comes to it's too negative for your team. And I think that's where all of our frustration comes. Today I was fine leaving him on. A lot of people wanted him to come off. I was fine leaving him on because you never know what he can do. One of those comes off, and like Jay said, it goes in the top corner. But the problem is that he does try to do too much too often. And that's where our frustration comes from, is when he gets the ball at midfield and has to goes 15 yards back just to create space for himself.
Yeah, the thing is, he's such a fabulously talented player. And when it does come off, it's spectacular. He's, you know, he can win you games with a shake of the hips and three steps and a shot. But, you know, with the great that comes with him, there's the negatives as well, which is disappointing today because, you know, if ever you wanted a moment of magic from Alexis Sanchez, today was the day. So let's come to the goal, guys. I'm going to come to you first in this, Jace. So Iwobi lost the ball deep inside our own half. It found its way to KDB. Shot, check, save, comes back to KDB, goal. It was painful, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you, though, I'm probably going to get slated like crazy in here because the chat box is so negative, but they can, you know, they can go do whatever they want. But Chet could have done a little bit better. Obviously, it will be giving the ball away. We've talked about giving the ball away. I'm not going to continue to hash over that, right? We do it. We give the ball away in bad positions, and people score goals off of it. The problem is the ball had ricocheted around enough sort of past that time. But it's just a great play and shot by Manchester City, and it's a great shot by Kevin De Bruyne. And, you know, Cech gets a finger to it, which I actually think people said he should have been a little bit better. I think he was pretty lucky to get a finger to it with how well it was hit. I don't really think that our defense, John, could have done a lot better on that. I mean, maybe they closed the ball down a little bit more, but it was great movement. If we score a goal like that, it's indefensible. It's great. Like there's nothing, but we get scored a goal like that against us, and we're trying to find the blame game. When a great team like Manchester City and a great player like Kevin De Bruyne is going to score good goals, sometimes no matter how well you defend them. So that goal, I don't necessarily put down to us being too, you know, obviously we need to be better in possession with the Iwobi there, but you know, I think by the time the goal went in, that was more Kevin De Bruyne is showing his class than us being poor.
Yeah, Kevin De Bruyne is my, I was going to say man crush, but he looks like a little boy, doesn't he?
We wouldn't put that past you. Don't worry. We wouldn't put it past you.
He's a wonderful player, and I've always really liked him. It just sucks he plays for Man City.
Yeah.
The ball giveaway is disappointing. You know, De Bruyne has the snapshot. Cech does well, pushes it, you know, away and far away to goal. I think we're a little bit slow all throughout today, but reacting to that as well, getting to it. Sané recycles the ball. And it's just, the thing is, when you watch City, like, obviously some of their play and patterns and stuff and passing is really pretty, but a lot of times it's just 1-2s, just little give and goes. Yeah. And it's just people knowing their positions and knowing that if I play the ball in there, I'm supposed to be here to receive it again. And as long as the player gets roughly his angle right, I'm going to take it in my stride kind of thing. I saw some people digging out Ramsey for it. I mean, he goes with the player. He looks to follow the ball because he's not getting a shout from his partner in midfield, in Xhaka, who, again, is a player who I really like, but got completely, just wasn't in the first half. I didn't see him. He wasn't there. Ramsey played midfield on his own, I thought, for a lot of it. You know, gets done by the 1-2, so you can't track the runner. I thought Koscielny could have come out, I'll be honest, closed it down a bit quicker. He's got no one else there. You know, Bellerin could have come across a bit as well. And I think, I agree, I think Cech could have done a bit better. It's a crossing, maybe he sees it late, but sometimes you also have to hold your hands up and just say De Bruyne is just a brilliant footballer. You know, he took it well, simple little 1-2, just to his feet, and just hits the ball really well. But yeah, there's every little sequence of that, from giving the ball away to the save, not reacting to the rebound, not closing down men quick enough as they recycle it, the 1-2, not closing De Bruyne down when he receives the ball again. They're all little things. If we do 10, 15, 20% better in each one, then maybe they don't get the goal. I just thought we were a little bit slow to everything today, and that was like a little, that was an example of it. If we're all on it, like, you know, like in the second half when we kind of upped the tempo, we started playing better. Yeah. I think if that was second half, then maybe we get a block on the shot, or maybe we get a tackle, or the ball doesn't quite make it from the 1-2, you know?
They were half a yard quicker than us, weren't they?
I
think we can clearly see the decline of Laurent Koscielny in this game.
He wasn't great today. Yeah,
he made a wonderful interception in the second half.
A couple of wonderful interceptions. A couple.
But to be honest with you, you know, he's genuinely, he's on the backslide in his career now. You know, and it's horrible to watch. You know, there's always been the rash side of him, but there was a slowness to his decision making today. You know, whereas he can be rash at times, he was hesitant quite a bit today. There was a little moment in the game, Jace. Fabian Delph took the ball in defence, stumbled over, fell into Hector Bellerin, and Michael Oliver gave Man City a free kick. Did that kind of sum up the referee's performance?
Yeah, it did. It's really hard because I don't want to blame losses on the referees. We have enough talent that even if we overcome poor refereeing, we should still be able to win. I think it was Nicky Wilson said 15 fouls each and one yellow card for City and six for Arsenal. And I know some of ours were a couple that were late, later in the match when we were sort of already I think over this match and just trying to get on the bus. And our frustration was showing through, like Ozil kicking the ball away, little things like that. But teams know that they can foul us and pretty much get away with it. I mean, they know that. How many times have we seen sort of stats like Nicky put in there? against us all the time, and they can sort of cyclically foul us throughout their team. Specifically, we've seen people target Jack, we've seen people target Ozil, we've seen people target Sanchez, and just sort of systematically go in and get their fouls. But it doesn't seem like referees really seem, especially inside the match, to recognize that. And we don't ever lose a match because of referees, but I definitely think that we've not picked up 3 points because of referees before. And the offside decision, which I'm sure we're going to come on to that, the way that they were fouling sort of repeatedly, the fact that Lacazette got like a yellow card after his first foul, and I think it maybe was Delph or Fernandinho or somebody who had, you know, been, you know, six fouls and still didn't have a card at the same point in the match. I hate to complain about it though, because it I don't want to be that fan who just thinks it's all about the referees, but there does come a point when you just got to think like, can we just pay them more? Can we pay them off? Is that a thing? We have enough money in the bank. I mean, I'd rather get Michael Oliver as a transfer sometimes than some of these players we get. That's for sure.
there was a startup. I'm not sure if it's right or not, or being your tweeted along the lines of win rates under Michael Oliver. At the top, there was Man City with 60%, which a lot of that can be put down to Man City's fabulous play at this moment in time. But Arsenal were down at 20% win rate. And it does make you think now and again. And
Can I just say on that?
Yeah.
Like, that's from Albino, so you would assume it's correct because don't mess those things up. The stats, there was like him, Mike Dean was one. There was famous stats about him and Arsenal, whatever. They never then tell you what games it is that those referees are in, because those refs are picked for big games, and they are games that we traditionally lose, which is why we have a low win percentage. It's not because of the referee. It's because we just don't win those games. I do get it. Yeah, sometimes, you know, don't get me wrong, I think the ref made some bad decisions today, but I think blaming him is kind of ridiculous.
It is. I mean, let's be fair. Man City were the better team today. You can see in the way they counter-attack, the fluidity of their football. And I'll say this here and now. Kevin De Bruyne is the best player in the league. He was easily the best player on the pitch, bar none, by a magic mile. By a magic mile. He was fabulous.
And he wasn't playing at his best today either. The thing with City today that I felt, like when we scored the goal, we'll get back into that in a minute, but when we scored the goal and we sort of upped the tempo a bit and came back into it, I felt City could go up another gear, and they did. Yeah. And then I kind of felt that even then they still weren't playing at their best.
Yeah, I think one of the things, my other notes for the rest of the first half, and we'll quickly go through them, but, you know, Coughlin was poor in possession, and we were giving the ball to him in silly positions at times as well, and you're just asking for trouble. Oh, Carl Walker's banning people. Why is that? I love Carl. Why's Carl banning people?
If Carl bans you, you know you've done something wrong. That's the issue.
To be fair, if Carl bans you, you know you're a cocksucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And when I use that word, I don't mean it in a sort of gender way. I don't really care, but you're a twat. So whoever HQ Awesomeness is, you're not awesome. You're a prick. But you know, you had a great tackle from Coughlin to save a really good counter attack. Sanchez gave the ball away again. Warby came in with an important tackle. The City press was really impressive. I thought John Stones looked a proper player today. You know, and he has done all season, to be fair to him. And we ended the half with the really good Edison save from Ramsey. It was, you know, they were on top at that point, and you could see the quality in their team, you know. And Fernandinho, they've only got one really recognised central midfielder. You know, I know, okay, you know, David Silva's an attacking midfielder in my eyes. Kevin De Bruyne's a winger, stroke attacking midfielder. But you've only got Fernandinho there, but the way they play the ball, I'm sorry, I'm going to mention the dirty pirate at the moment. If you're knocking this Pep Guardiola team, I don't care how much money they've spent in it, but they play some very impressive football. don't be foolish about it. They're a very good side, and they're very well managed. They're well set up, and they're continually looking to improve. And whilst I didn't think we were great first half, I don't think we were but awful either. I think we just came up against a good team, and I think that was the story of the first half. John, your opinion?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought City were the better team, but I thought we'd done okay. We'd kept their chances limited. There was two, arguably, they probably should have scored from. I think Sterling had a really good chance to put an easy ball across. I thought, actually, Koscielny defended quite well. I think he had Sane on the other side, and he was the only man back, and he closed the gap enough, but not so much that he made it difficult for Sterling. It made it awkward for the decision to make, and thankfully, Sterling messed it up. But, you know, we had sort of half chances. Then we had the one right at the end of the first half, Ramsey. Edison, that's the goalkeeper in it, you know, made a decent save. So I thought, okay, you know, the one thing you will get with City is they will give you chances because they play football, because they do like to be expansive and go forward. So there is always going to be that chance to break and whatever. I think they're a lot more solid than they were last season. Obviously, they've got the second best defensive record, I think, in the league this year so far. So, fireworks going off. You know, there's this little bright spell of hope. I thought if we got a draw out of the game, I would have been well happy. So at halftime, I was, okay, City aren't playing the best football I've seen them play all season. They've wasted a few chances, which is always good. And we had one half-cut chance, I think, at the end there with Ramsey. I thought maybe second half, 10, 15 minutes, we bring on Lacazette, something like that. Maybe we can get something out of the game. But I thought despite the lineup choices and personnel choices, all that kind of thing, I thought we actually started with the right attitude. They went out, we clearly had a game plan, which we haven't been able to say this season in a lot of games. You know, they clearly had instructions on what they were supposed to be doing. And I thought that if we could carry that on and just, you know, improve our pass a little bit, make it a little bit tidier, especially when we were trying to break, when we did get the ball, then maybe we had a chance.
Give me a second. Devil's advocate, stop being such a twat. You're a prick, actually. Ta-da. Fucking bunker. Honest to God. Carry on.
No, I wasn't. It's weird because I think everyone went into the game expecting to be battered, probably, or, you know, or not to win anyway. You know, whether the expectancy of how many goals we concede depends on your outlook and life in general. But the fact it was only 1-0, they missed a few chances, and, you know, we played okay. I thought, yeah, you know, this is better than I thought we'd do. And considering the players that are on the pitch, that Coquelin started and he was playing centre-back and not midfield, no Lacazette. You know, Alexis was having a mare up front, you know, but we still were in the game. I was like, okay, I'll take this. You know, maybe we'll get something.
Yeah, it was really difficult, wasn't it? Jace, we went into the second half and before we knew it, there's a penalty. Talk me through it.
Yeah, you know, good ball played into the box. I forgot who played the actual ball in, but Sterling was trying to run onto it, and Monreal tried to cut off the angle, but just couldn't get there in time. Didn't get the ball. Got more of the man, and, you know, a lot of people are probably going to also slate me in here for this, but I think it's a penalty all day. If that doesn't go our way, if it's reversed, if we don't get that penalty, we're shouting and we're screaming because the ball wasn't played. The man goes down in the box after you can call it a shoulder-to-shoulder challenge, but let me go ahead and tell you, folks, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get that call if you're the offensive player. 9 times out of 10. So just – it's going to be there, right? It's going to happen. So I was fine with it. Monreal should have been a little smarter, I think. And like you guys said before, it was just us being like a step slow. That's really what it was. I just – you know, it's one of those things where we always put ourselves in these positions in matches and sort of shoot ourselves in the foot, and people can blame the referee. They can do whatever. But if you're a defender and you go into a player and don't win the ball in the box, then you're gonna be at risk of getting a, you know, not only a card but giving up that penalty, even if it's soft. And 15 years ago, that's never a penalty, not ever in the Premier League. Today, though, it is 100%. And like I said, we would all be very, very upset if that call didn't go our way. So we've got to go ahead and just say, all right, you know what? We shouldn't have been so sloppy and put ourselves in that position in the first place, because that's what happens when we do that. Is you take the decision and you take the call out of your hand and you give it to the referee.
Yeah, I look at the chat box and it's really interesting. There's sort of, I think it's a 70-30 or 65-35 split that it was a penalty. John, your opinion on it?
It was soft, but I think Jace is right. In today's game, the way you tackle a player in the box or go into a player, if you're going to make contact, you have to do it in such a way that you don't give the referee the option of even considering calling for a penalty. I think Nacho did his best to try not to foul him, and you know, he was just trying to, like Jason said, just trying to go shoulder to shoulder. But Sterling's clever, make sure he runs across the player. He tries to do that as quick as he can, so he's going to get contact, hopefully with the back of his legs, is what he's hoping for. And also Nacho, he's not like across Sterling's chest with his arm, no. But he raises it enough that the moment you do that, a referee is going to look at it and go, he's tried to pull him back a little bit. Doesn't matter whether he's done it or not. I mean, obviously it does, because you're supposed to get the correct decision. But the way the referee will look at it and the angle he's got and everything else. And also, every time we see it back on replays, it's slowed down and everything. And it's so easy to go, oh, that's never a pen. Look, he's not even touching him there, you know, or Sterling's foot's come out. And you've got to see it in real time. So, like a couple of years ago, no, they're not going to give it. But nowadays they are.
Yeah,
and if Jason's right, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get that as a penalty. If that was us, one of our players running the box, we'd all be screaming for a pen. It's disappointing, but you can't go. He's got to try and get him to turn or stand him up or just run into the line. You can't go into him with the shoulder. But the point is, he shouldn't have been able to receive that ball in the first place. The fact that Man City, I can't remember who he played with, was it was De Bruyne or Fernandinho, but he can't have that much room on the ball to be able to make that pass in the first place. And also Sterling shouldn't be able to run off the back of Monreal. You know, we weren't playing a back four at that point. We're playing a back three. You know, where's the midfielder covering? Where's the wing back coming in to help Monreal out? He shouldn't be being able to get that run across him there. That's ridiculous, you know. If you're playing a back three and you're playing against Man City, if Sterling gets the run across the back of one of your three centre backs, that means that Jesus is one on one with Coquelin, and that Sane in theory is then one on one with Koscielny. That shouldn't be happening. Now I know obviously they're much wider than that and they come in, but you shouldn't be letting that pass in the first place. But it's going to be given as a pen. I know, like Rudy's saying, oh look, surprise, John says it's a penalty. Sorry, Rudy, it's going to be given all day long. Don't like it. That's the way the game is refereed now. I don't particularly like it. I don't like the fact that you can't shoulder barge into someone anymore. I don't like the fact that you can't tackle from behind, because there's brilliant. Some people can tackle in from behind a player's legs and win the ball clean, and it's great. But it's against the rules now. The game changes. You have to move with it. And as a defender or a forward, you adapt to that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's certain facts of modern football which you can't deny, and that's just the way it is. Jace, come on to you. Next thing I've got is Edison barges into Ramsey and falls into his own goal. How are we not given a goal?
I love how that's the most probably objective thing you've said all day. it was cheeky. It was very cheeky by Ramsey to sort of do that. And then you could see him sort of look at Michael Oliver like, am I going to get it? Am I going to get it? And no, it was actually some decent play there to get that in there. But yeah, just I did love the look that Ederson sort of gave the lines and looked over like, are you, like, really? We're just going to like allow this? I also thought it was pretty interesting. None of the City players seem to really react to their keeper being run into.
No.
Which I found really, really interesting. Because typically whenever you see, you know, and even in hockey or in, especially in football, when a keeper sort of barged into or something, you see that there's a lot, you know, people coming to his defense. And but City didn't really react. And I sort of found that quite interesting. And hopefully their lack of reaction will be the downfall and they'll end up getting relegated from where they are currently. But, you know, wishful thinking, obviously. But no, I think Ramsey was definitely trying to do the right thing. I don't think the execution came off right, but the best part of that play was how you just spun it. That was that's really the best. That's the only real good commentary I have.
it was slightly ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean,
it was.
That was one of my favorite moments of the game. I thought there was, yeah, at that point after then, I thought Ramsey in particular and a few of the Arsenal boys, not that they thought, oh, we're not going to win this, but they were like, oh, we need to up our physicality a bit. And it was just, we're going to stick the boot in a bit more, which we weren't doing in the first half. And sometimes you've got to do that in games. I think Ramsey just went, I'll probably get away with this. Just see. Probably didn't think he's going to get a goal, but just put one on him. Why not? Sometimes you've got to do that in a game. And you need to, it's just, obviously we're away. So, you know, I'm sure the away fans were singing and stuff, but sometimes you just need it on the pitch. Just like one of those big tackles or something, and it just ups the sort of intensity of the players, doesn't it?
You need a spark, don't you? You need a catalyst. You need a catalyst to change things. And talking of catalysts to change things, the substitution of Coughlin off and Lacazette on, and going to a back four. Jace, I thought it was the substitution that was needed. You know, we needed to play with a bit more ambition at the time. Mm-hmm. And it kind of did sparkle or something in us, didn't it?
Because you've got a great clinical finisher up top who can put goals away and sort of create something out of nothing and puts himself in really good positions. I don't think Coughlin had a bad game at all. I actually think he had a pretty decent game. There's obviously a couple of times that he went full Coughlin, which you never do. but I also think you talk about his distribution. He had actually a couple of longer passes that were successful today. And I want to applaud him for that and also rub it in your face.
What? But the Cochrane actually made a successful pass. Hey, mate, not being funny, okay? Everybody gets lucky now and again.
Not trying to troll you too much.
good man.
But yeah, so when he came off, I wanted it to be more for a Iwobi. It wasn't, but I understand why. Yeah, he moved to a back four. That's cool. Again, I have more of an issue with Wenger not taking a player off who's not playing well. They're just trying to fit something into a system he thinks will work. But you can see what Lacazette brings, and you can see it seemed like he had a chip on his shoulder as well. Typically, he's sort of running like, you know, it's a pretty standard blank expression when he's running around, but he had some attitude this match, and I think that's what we needed when we brought him on, and it obviously paid off. I don't want to go too far into that right now, unless you just want me to. But yeah, I think, you know, 50 minutes, what was it, 53 minutes, probably later than anybody else wanted to see Lacazette on the pitch. But, you know, we can't always win with the manager's selections on this one. So I'll take the substitution and take the substitute's contribution for sure.
Yeah. Around the same time, John Aguero came off, Jesus came on, and then Iwobi wins the ball. Good pass to Ramsey. Great pass to Lacazette, and Lacazette still an awful lot to do at this point. Fantastic finish, and it's 2-1.
Yeah, just
described the goal to me.
Just what we needed in the game, really. We just, as soon as Lacazette came on, it wasn't just having him up front. It was, we changed our system. We went to a back four. And I think that really affected, it was having three men in midfield was the big thing. Özil dropped into number 10, which he hasn't played really all season. You know, you had Ramsey and Xhaka, and suddenly, as an Arsenal player, if we had the ball, you had an easy option, especially the midfielders, because they only had two in there today against, you know, against three, and against three very good players who closed down and pressed. They got high energy, you know, they do all of those things. So the moment you did that, you can move the ball a bit easier, and it opens up space for other players. It means that Iwobi gets a little bit more time in the ball. It means that Ramsey can find a little space to make a run. You know, Ozil is now not playing wide. He's playing in the middle. He might drag a Fernandinho out of position, opens it up. And the moment Lacazette got it, you're right, he did have a lot to do. He just did the right thing. Just good touch, got it out of his feet and just hit it as hard as he could. And it wasn't, you know, through the keeper's legs as well. So low and hard across the goal, just exactly what you wanted to do. And it's, I feel really sorry for him because he's had some stick this season. He's been subbed off a lot in games. He didn't start this one. And then we know that Arsenal, whenever a new player comes into the team, he eases them in over quite a long period and sometimes longer than we'd like. But do you feel he would have given us something a little bit better today? He is a striker, so he's used to holding the ball up, winning free kicks. You saw him winning free kicks in and around the box, laying things off, getting little bits and pieces and stuff as soon as he came on. And it just makes a big difference. And that's what you spend all that money for. And the moment he came on, the moment he scored the goal, the whole tempo of the team went up. Everyone, I thought, looked more comfortable with the back four. Ramsey and Xhaka looked more comfortable with Ozil in midfield with them. Sanchez was out wide then. Iwobi on the right-hand side. I just thought the team looked better. And Man City, I think, for a good 10-minute spell, were struggling a little bit and were really on the back foot. I do think they started to get back into it a little bit before the goal they scored. But I thought we looked decent then. And I thought, yeah, again, maybe we can get a draw out of this, which would be a good result.
Yeah, we really sort of up to tempo. Jace, your view on the goal? Jace, or was he gone? Sorry, not looking. I genuinely thought, you know, we looked a lot more potent at that point. You know, we seemed to have real intent to our play, whereas we didn't have our cutting edge in the first half. You know, he gave us that extra something. I think it's just the runs that he makes. He utilizes space very well, and his movement is always excellent, which at times I don't think can be said for the team as a whole. So that was really good to see. We had Hector blocked a good opportunity for them at that point. Lacazette got flattened a bit later on. And, you know, again, Oliver did nothing about it. It got a bit frustrating.
I was actually going to say on that one, the Otamendi one, wasn't it?
Yeah,
on the wing. When that initially happened and he let play go on, I actually thought he's done the right thing here. And I forgot about the challenge because the ball didn't go out of play for a very, very long time. Because we carried on, we went to the left-hand side, we came back a bit, went back inside. City won the ball back and they had a break and a shot, I think. And it was probably a good 5 minutes or something after, maybe longer, until the ball went out. But he actually did go back and book Otamendi for that challenge.
Did he?
Yeah, he did actually go back for it. So, and honestly, I'd forgotten about it. But at the time, I was like, Jesus Christ, because he did really wipe him out. And Lacazette was proper, like, down on the floor. But he did, I actually thought that was some really good refereeing. He let play go on. They got the ball back and, you know, and he did come back for that.
Yeah. Jace, okay, so let's go on to the third City goal. You know, we had a period of play where we were on top. They came back into it. Then, and obviously, they regained their confidence and applied pressure again. My notes. You know, Jesus goal. Silva way offside. Dog shit officiating. Do you want to expand on that?
It was, yeah, and I think I'm not going to say that VAR has been the savior of the Bundesliga officiating this season. John's laughing because he certainly agrees with me. Mm. But we've had a goal clearly onside with Lacazette called as offside. we've now had this that really sort of put the game away for them, and you could tell that there was a drop, and I'm going to go ahead and call our players out on this as well. There was a drop in their spirit and attitude after this goal, which was, as a fan, unacceptable to me. There were times when Kolasinac wasn't even getting back. You could see, obviously Shaka had sort of lost the plot and was seeing red after trying to argue for the offside call. But there's a couple of different aspects to this. One, we need to find a way to get this stuff right with the officials. There is nothing blocking the linesman. He was clear. His entire leg and half of his torso were offside. And I heard it was our good friend, my fellow Ginger Josh, was saying that the Sky commentators were trying to make the case for him being onside. Well, luckily in the U.S., we could clearly see he wasn't, and our commentators didn't try to paper over that fact either. We, as Arsenal players, you can't control referees' decisions. What you can control is just putting your arm up and stopping play. You can 100% control that. And the fact that all of our players except for one stopped, and the one that didn't stop was already out of position and couldn't help anyway. The fact that they all stopped, took 2 seconds, and then realized that there was no whistle or flag, then they started to play. And by that time, it's too late. Always play to the whistle. How early is that taught? How early is that taught? And granted, even if we had played to the whistle, we probably still would have allowed that goal. He was that far sort of in behind. I'm not sure it would have done too much. But you always play to the whistle. And don't complain when you don't play to the whistle and you stop moving that something goes wrong. Because you know what? You can't control what the referee sees. Yes, he should have been called offside. I will never, ever argue against that. And we've got to figure out a way to get this right in this league.
Yeah,
but as a player, it's egregious that you do not play through the whistle and you just stop expecting the referee to gift you something. Never expect a referee to gift you anything in any sport. Not just this, but if it's basketball or American football, you always play to the whistle, and you never just think that the referee will allow us to. It's the attitude that shows that's so frustrating to me.
Jay, I totally agree with that. But the one thing I will say, my stream had Andy Townsend commentated on it, and he said, oh, it's difficult for linesmen. Well, it wasn't difficult.
He
was right in line. He was clearly offside. Yeah. And, even Silva, you could see Silva's reaction because he thought the flag was going to go up before he crossed it. There was a little sort of take from him.
Yeah,
and I totally agree with playing the whistle, but that was just horrendous officiating. It was of the lowest order.
Oh, I'm not trying to excuse the officiating at all, Jason. The problem is our players still can't control the officials. Our players can control their actions, and they know what the right thing to do is because they've been playing this game for how many years now, and they still can't get it right to play through the whistle. That's an attitude problem, and yes. The officiating was atrocious throughout the match today. This is the biggest. This is sort of the biggest indictment upon that. The fact is, though, you can't control if what the officials get right or wrong. You can only control your actions on the pitch, and we've got to control our actions on the pitch much better. That way, these calls, even if they go against us, we can still overcome them. We're unable to overcome them right now with the attitude of our players.
No. I agree with that, John. Your view on that? Go on. Let us have it.
He's offside. When I was watching it in real time, I thought, wow, how is the play still going on? And then, like you said, the fact that David Silva looked around at the linesman and sort of was like, what? Oh, cool. All right. This is brilliant. And then just looks up and Jesus is sort of just wandering on the penalty spot going, well, I guess I'll just have a tap in then.
Yeah.
I don't know how the linesman didn't see it. When you see the replay, his body's in line with Koscielny, but his foot is like a yard or more, like past him.
His whole leg was offside.
His
whole leg.
Yeah, it's not like it's a tight one, and it's not like it's one where it's really fast. You get those ones where both players are moving really quick, and they just happen to cross at the same time. But he was slow. He was walking. It wasn't, but Jace is right. The the fact that our defense just stood there and didn't do anything. You can have your arm up, that's fine. You know, the old classic Arsenal offside, you know, all stick your arm up kind of thing. But it's ridiculous that they didn't move back. I think the frustrating thing for me is that that decision will be highlighted a lot in the coverage. And I know Arsene Wenger has already spoken about it and said how ridiculous it is and everything. It will ignore the rest of the game, the fact that, you know, Man City were just better than us. Yes, we were. We were playing well at that point. But I think the difference is that Man City weren't playing their best football and could have played better and could have upped the tempo. They got the goal and they did up the tempo. And then, like Jason said, the worst thing was they scored the goal and our heads dropped. We didn't. It wasn't like when the Lacazette came on, we got the goal when we upped the tempo. We conceded the goal, which we shouldn't have, and it was poor officiating. Our players knew it. So instead of reacting the right way, they got angry, started making stupid tackles, giving the ball away more again, instead of playing the way they were. That's the thing that it annoys me as much as the linesman's decision did.
Yeah.
Right, okay, that's about that. Right, okay, so quick shout out to people in the box: John Wren, Thunder Road, Rudy Rastlos, Marble Halls TV, Anthony.
Nope, James, you've gone all robot, mate.
Yep.
I've gone robot. Is that better?
Yeah. No, you're still roboting, mate. Yeah. Give it the old plug and unplug it thing. Thank you for everyone in the chat box for interacting today. A nice miserable result. Semi half expected, I think, from you know, quite a few people. Are gonna get to the question. We are gonna get to the question section in a little bit. So if you do have any questions specific to the game, please fire them away in the chat box. But yeah, Jason,
Osama Zaka, can you hear me now, guys?
Yeah, perfect, mate. Lovely. You were talking, Jace, and now you disappeared.
And now he can't hear us. Well, John, do you have a question that you want to ask me? Why is my beard so much better than yours? That's the only one I want to answer.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to ask that question because I would just upset myself. Because yours is much better than mine.
I'm sure Dom is taking a screenshot of this, talking about, John, this is how you grow a proper beard.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Right, we did have a few questions.
Are you too long talking about beards?
Oh, there we go. He's
maybe.
Back.
Maybe.
Okay, Medi's in there. Von Cringe.
Just because you can't grow one, Jace. Don't worry about it.
I can't. It's terrible. James Kerr. Usama's in there. I tell you what. Jeffrey O'Hara. Jovi82. Oscar Alonso. Spencer. Simon Jordan. Him of Crystal Palace fame. Quid Est Veritas is in there. Gunashai77, she's had to go, or he is had to go, I don't know. Thank you all for being part of this, really appreciate it. If you can give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down, we'd really appreciate it. Doesn't matter which one. The chat box has been really good tonight, other than one arsehole with comments which have nothing to do with football. Any arsehole wants to come in here and spout me with that shit, get away from us. We're here for the football. That's it. Keep it clean in there. We're not going to put up with that crap. Carl spotted it and threw them out. The game then, Jace, I'm going to come to you next.
Yep.
You know, we Jack came on, Ollie came on. It will be who I thought, you know, he's a talented player, but he's not quite at the races yet. Came off. We showed a little bit of intent, but they managed to keep the ball from us for large lengths of time. And Ozil showed frustration. You could see him again. You know, I'm not sure if it was the referee he was having a pop at, or what was going on there. But it was all a little bit going through the motions, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially at the time that they all came on, it is definitely going through the motions. I think, you know, Ollie tried to get involved. I honestly don't remember Jack touching the ball. And maybe that's just my poor memory and the fact that I've switched from beer to wine already. But, you know, a lot of people are asking about, you know, him and Ozil, and we'll come on to that in a little bit. But for today, I think it was good that he came on. We've sort of hashed over Iwobi, not only on the main podcast, but on here before. Young, growing, still going to make some poor decisions. But I think we all see that the talent's there. We just got to continue to nurture it the correct way. At that point in the match, it's just everybody else who was already on the pitch had sort of already given up. So you bring two players on who possibly have some of the better attitudes in our team, and you know, nobody really wants to play with them a whole lot. So, it's really tough. It's one of those things where, and everybody knows that I love Ollie G. He tried to do some stuff today, maybe a little too ambitious. Like I said, I don't think Jack really, in my opinion, and I could be completely wrong. Again, I just don't remember him. I don't remember his name being called by the commentator except for when he came on. So it was just one of those games where we're a step behind, substitutes try to come on. One of them does make a difference and sort of tries to bring us back. But at the same time, by the time we're trying to make other changes, the game's so far gone that our heads just aren't in it. And it's really unfortunate because it almost feels probably like for those players like some wasted minutes, sadly.
Yeah. It was disappointing then. That was it. We lost 3-1. Yeah. We lost to a better team. I think there's no doubt about that. And in Kevin De Bruyne, they've got the best player in the league by a mile, by a country mile at this moment in time. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And it's a shame when I look at Sir Sanchez and Ozil, I look at the quality they have. If they had his intent, if they had his link-up play, if they, you know, could demand sort of 300 grand a week, but yeah, you know, they don't, and unfortunately today's the kind of thing that happens. Okay, so let's go to some questions then, guys. First one, and it's from Pedro McManus. John, you on this one, should Wilshere have started today?
No, not for me. I like Jack. I've got a lot of time for him. He's had a horrible, horrible spate of injuries in his career. Lots of people blame him for it. I don't think they are all his fault. I'm not a physio or a medical person. I listen to people who know about that stuff and actually studied it, people like Dom and, you know, others. And from what they tell me, it's not all his fault. So I think he's been very unfortunate. It's good to see that he's fought all the way back to get fit again. He looks like he's getting there. I think he's done okay in the Europa League games. I don't think he's been spectacular. But do I think he would have made it? I don't think he makes a difference in this game if he starts. And I don't think it's necessarily the best game for him. Is there an argument for starting him over Xhaka? Maybe, but I don't think Xhaka is a central midfielder. I don't think he can play that role anymore.
I'm gonna throw the curveball at you then. Would you start him beside Ozil with Lacazette up top, especially once January comes? Because on our broadcast, we were told that pretty much Sanchez has already agreed with the team to move in January. So would you like to see him maybe beside Ozil and right beside Messi?
Okay, flip that aside. It will be ineffective today, to put it mildly.
Yeah. Okay, if people are talking about putting Jack in that position, then yeah, sure. I think he's got a shout to play in there. But I would not put him, especially against Man City, but against most Premier League teams, I wouldn't put him in a centre mid position. I know lots of people are asking for someone to come in for Xhaka, who isn't playing well at all this season, which I do agree with. And I do think that is something we need to address. But I don't think... I
disagree, and so do stats on that, John. I think today he had a bad game. Yes, today he did. Overall in the season, I think if you look at stats, I think he's more of a scapegoat than Sanchez is at the moment.
Yeah. I suppose it depends who you follow on your timeline, doesn't it? Yeah, maybe I've got more Xhaka fans than I have Alexis ones on mine. But, yeah, no, I like Xhaka. I think today was just – the level of opposition we're facing, it's a step up too much. And he hasn't started a Premier League game yet, has he, this season?
No.
And like, I've enjoyed the Europa League. It's been fun. It's new teams, exciting new places, especially for the away fans. It must be great going to new cities instead of going to, you know, Munich and places like that all the time. But it's not exactly the best competition in the world. And he hasn't like lit it on fire either. Like, he's done well. But he hasn't lit it on fire yet. So I still think there's a progression like timeline for Jack coming into the team.
The one thing about Jack, though, where I think Iwobi could learn from him is, you know, you watch Jack Ramsey, they're always brave. They're always showing for the ball. They're always showing for the ball. They always want the ball. Iwobi, you see him do that part of the time. You don't see him do that as consistently as Jack and Ramsey in that role where, you know, they're always taking two steps. Right, I'm here. Give me the ball. You know, that's something inherent in their game. He's not got it yet. By the way, Luke, I am your father. sorry, Jace, Thunder Road asks, any discussion on the foul called on Ozil that should have led to Alexis one-on-one with Stones? I think ensuing free kick led to the penalty call.
I don't remember that specific sequence. But I'm assuming that Michael Oliver got it wrong. So, yeah, I mean, again, without remembering that specific sequence, I don't really recall. I just know that there were so many times when they challenged us and it went either sort of uncalled or at least unbooked, probably where it should have, and it was overly cynical and we should have got the call. But you could have done that with a lot of different fouls against us in the match that they had on us, where we should have gotten something and they ended up getting sort of the turn of the green after we didn't get anything. And we didn't lose today because of the referee at all. But let's just – the referee definitely didn't give us any advantages either. That's for sure.
Okay. Josh asks, should we concede less?
Yeah, that's definitely one. We should, I don't know, can we get someone in to teach Petr Cech about penalties? I'm not going to actually have a dig at him about the penalty at all. It was a brilliant penalty when you're that good that you can just score off the post for a laugh.
In Cech's defense, 90% of the time, if a penalty is saved, it's because the save is off of an easy shot, not because it's an amazing save. So let's it's a PK. Like, the chances of him saving it are less than 10%.
No, can we all just get off his
back for that? I think we need to be more concerned with him going to his right side at the near post than we do about him saving PK.
I thought Cech made some good saves today, actually.
The save against Jesus was unbelievable. And the fact that people haven't brought that up more, the fact that he saved that is more surprising than him ever saving a PK. The fact he saved that shot was one of the better saves I've ever seen.
That's fair comments. Josh, also stick it on. Stick with you in this, Chase. I want you to come in then, John.
Yeah.
Sanchez Ramsey. Is it becoming an issue?
I think it's probably because Ramsey said that he doesn't like labs and he prefers Dobermans as to the fact that Ramsey won't play with him. As Wolfsburg finally get their goal back because you know, Smalley. Sorry. I don't know what's going on there. I don't watch a game with an eye to see who Sanchez is passing to because typically it's the opponent's shin.
Chelsea just scored. I was actually because Morata's United and Mourinho's got the right arm, so just cheer me up.
Okay, that's good, but also bad. I don't watch with an eye to that. I'll be honest with you. I can see where they wouldn't get along. If you notice like team photos and everything, they never seem to be near each other at all, which maybe can be a bit concerning. But I definitely think obviously where there's some smoke, there's probably fire in this situation. Just the fact that as pubescent as Sanchez's attitude seems to be at times and as emotionally volatile. I definitely think it is. And I think Ramsey has, even when Ramsey was getting a lot of shtick from fans, he's always been rather cool headed, rather sort of even keel, always sort of the same. And just Sanchez isn't like that at all, obviously. So I think there's probably, outside of footballing, I think there's that sort of personality clash. And then you just add that maybe Sanchez doesn't trust Ramsey on top of it. Sanchez is going to be gone in January, hopefully for more than 20 million, because that's an egregious thing for us to allow him to go for, to allow this sort of situation to happen. Hopefully they can find a way to coincide together and make this team the best possible team in between now and January, if Alexis goes. And because, to be honest with you, we've got a lot of matches coming up between then, a ton. And our team needs to play as a team together, whether it's Sanchez and Ramsey or Ozil and Jack or, you know, Koscielny and Mertesacker, or whoever it is, needs to play together, because, you know, we got an important run of games, especially over the next 2 months, that we can't be selective with who we pass to. We can't be selective with who we play into goal for shots because we think they'll miss. And to be honest with you, a lot of people were saying that Ramsey was selfish today with his shot against Sanchez, and says that he should have played him through. So it may be going both ways. I don't know if there's a specific beef. John, have you seen a specific? I haven't looked for it, but maybe that's just because I'm a ginger optimist and think that, you know, if you're on the same team, you should play people who you should play to the ball, the people who are open no matter what, even though I don't do the same thing when that happens when I play American football. So
I do think there is a little bit of it when if you go back and watch through games, there are times when you see either of them got the ball and the other one is running through and they don't want to pass. When it's Alexis who's got the ball, I don't know if it's necessarily targeted at Ramsey, because it could be anyone, really, to be honest, because he just wants to score the goal. It's the sort of player he is. Ramsey to Ozil. Ramsey does have a little bit of that selfishness as well, wants to score. The problem is you're never going to know if it's really an issue, if they really don't get on, because it's all behind the scenes. It's stuff that we don't know about. So maybe they don't, maybe they do. The one thing I will say is if they don't get on, it shouldn't matter on the pitch. There's plenty of teams that have won titles and European Cups and FA Cups and everything you can think of with loads of players that not only don't get on, but absolutely despise each other. But when they go out on the pitch, they're professional and they play football and they all want to win. So they go and get the result. Maybe that's an old school view on football and it's not the norm now, and people are a little bit more delicate about those kind of things. I'll end up going, oh, you're one of those people. I'm not using that word, don't worry.
Well, but I think what it is football tends to mimic society, and society is sort of similar to that now. And I think we're seeing come to fruition. I'm not trying to get like political or anything like that. But I think that's what we're starting to see is, that's why I think maybe we're not seeing the leadership in the style that you saw of a Tony Adams before, because people aren't brought up that way anymore. That's not the way people are taught and raised from childhood. And you can bemoan that or celebrate that or whatever you want. But those types of leaders, we can always cry out for them. Oh, we want times have changed, and there's a different, people lead in different ways. And you don't have to be a Tony Adams to lead that way. And that's why I think Ramsey should be our next captain. And going off in the chat box in 3, 2, 1, now.
I got to be honest. I look at it, and I do think there may be a bit of an issue there. But I as John said, I think these guys are professional players. You know, I did see them pass to each other today.
Hmm.
They you know, they're also human beings, and as much as Sanchez gives the ball away, sometimes he'll have his eye on one player when another player's in a better position. Well, you can't help that. That's we're human, you know, that's what happens. Do they get on? Probably not. You know, we know that Sanchez doesn't get on with many in the squad. He keeps himself to himself. That's the way it is. As long as he does his job on the pitch, you know, I thought he was very poor today. I don't think Ramsey was great today. It happens. I think it's more about the disjointed nature of the team selection today, where I think it will be struggled. And you know, he's a young player who's got some fantastic skills. Where you know, once he reaches that level of being the great link man in that position, you know, you'll see everybody come into play.
But I think the biggest issue today was that the manager waited until 50-something minutes to change the formation to what he should have been from the start of the game.
And also bringing
Lacazette on. I think the moment we went to three in midfield, we were so much better.
The other problem is why does the manager have to change the formation for two of your best players to play together?
Yeah,
because again, okay, you know, you look at a movement when you've got the right player, when you've got the best players in the park, a movement's a hell of a lot better. Therefore, there's options. Therefore, you know, Sanchez will be free more often. Ramsey will be free more often. You're able to see our best interplay then, which everybody comes into play then. Next question, John, I'm going to stick with you on this one. And 235100 asks, should we be glad we scored today and didn't get trashed by 8-0?
I mean, yeah, because it's a weird thing to say, but it's good that we weren't, because it's not like City aren't capable of it. I think, in all honesty, they're probably going to go into most games this season, and you're in the league anyway, against the majority opposition and be looking at scoring 3+ goals. In all reality, in particular at home,
Here's one for you. They've scored more goals already this season than they have in previous whole Premier League campaigns.
Yeah, they're fantastic. You know, they're playing such good football. So I didn't expect anything out of today. I thought we'd come away with no points, which is what's happened. We played better than I thought we would. I still think there was issues on the pitch. I still think we could have improved and played better. I didn't like the selection that much. I think we should have started with three in the middle. I think we should have played the back four from the start. But it was the fact that the manager was willing to, you know, recognise that having Lacazette, Ozil and Alexis all on the pitch at the same time together, it is perhaps not the strongest thing for us defensively, is a good thing, I think. You know, we often criticise him of not being, you know, of being too stubborn and not changing and always saying, you know, not respecting the opposition. Well, today he definitely respected Man City in the fact that we clearly went out with a game plan of sitting deep and trying to break. Didn't work, but, you know, at least he did try something. Doesn't admonish him from any blame, because I still think he got things wrong. So I'm not pleased that we lost, obviously, and never am, but we didn't. I don't think we embarrassed ourselves, was the big thing. This could have been, it could have been like a Bayern Munich, you know, real, like, head down, shame, terrible kind of result.
No, we showed enough spirit. We should have been better, couldn't we? It was one of those where I thought it was a fair reflection of the game.
Yeah. The scoreline was fair. Man City could have scored more goals, but were wasteful, weren't at their best. And we were worthy of a goal in the game, definitely.
I thought we were worthy of two, to be honest. But there you go. Jace, no limits. Alonso Spencer asks, would we rather start Welbeck and Jack instead of Sanchez, or stick with Sanchez, Lacazette and Ozil? What would you prefer to do?
I mean, at this time, I would rather stick with Lacazette, Ozil and Sanchez, but the problem is we've only seen Lacazette, Ozil and Sanchez once this season. It's not like we haven't, where we've played them a ton. We've only seen them one game, and that was against Swansea. You know, let's give our best three sort of creative and attacking players the chance to play together, and then maybe we can turn this loss. And we're so negative. Like, let's not act like we haven't played very well for the last, you know, little while. Yeah, we had a little hiccup in the Europa League this year, and then obviously today, but we're playing the team that's probably going to go on to breeze through the league today. And then let's also think about the fact that, you know, we've got a run of games coming up with, you know, let's say Spurs will probably end up getting a draw historically. That's what we'll probably do against Spurs. And then we got a run of games that we can win. And we got to take advantage of that. So let's see our best players play in their best positions over the next few games and see how it goes.
Yeah, good answer. John, No Limits Denner asks, is it time to Wenger to go? I mean, I don't actually usually ask these questions, but however, we're already at the title race and I just can't see Wenger turning around anymore.
The simple answer is he will not go until the end of his contract. We know that, unless there is a dramatic change at the club or for some bizarre reason he decides, no, that's it, I'm going to walk away at the end of the season. He certainly won't leave halfway through a season. Should he go? I think he should have gone a while ago, a few years ago, to be honest. I think fans also have to accept that we were never in the title race this season. From the start, we weren't ever going to be in it. We are fortunate that, you know, Chelsea and Liverpool are a bit up and down this year as well, which gives us a decent shot at top four, at least, you know, because we've played pretty average to bad most of this season. We had two good games, one of them against Everton, who have been absolute dog shit, and the other one was, what, Swansea, which was okay. Again, we weren't amazing in that, but we were, you know, decent. I think you just have to accept that we're not the club that maybe fans think we are. We're not a team that should be competing for the league. Maybe with the resources... Sorry. With the resources we've got, then yes, we should be. The stature of the club, we should be. But I think you have to look at, one, our squad, the players we've got, the contract situation those players are in, and our manager. And I think if you put those together, that's not a title-challenging team.
I agree with you there. I got to be honest, I agree with you there. If you look at the past three transfer windows, we've never quite done enough, have we?
Yeah.
Never quite done enough. And that's my biggest problem now is, you know, I don't know how many times I've said this on podcasts or the radio show, but when you have a transfer window such as the Czech transfer window, where we just bring in a goalkeeper, you know, I said at the time, I've said it every other podcast since, that's not fucking good enough. That is negligent, to put it mildly.
When you look at what we've got to do this summer, if we manage to keep Özil and Alexis until then, that's them two gone. You need a huge signing. The defence is losing Mertesacker. Koscielny's older. Nacho's older. I hope we're going to switch to a back four and get away from this back three, which means Nacho, I don't think, can really play in a two as a centre-back. I don't think it's his best. And we haven't sorted our midfield at all. Central midfield has been a mess since that Czech summer transfer window.
But this is the thing. You know,
there's a lot of work to do.
You look at the Santi Cazorla situation. That kind of sums it all up. Jace, Jeffrey O'Hara.
Can I add something on that before I answer Jeffrey's question here real quick? And I'll sort of I'll turn this into that, though. Don't worry. We're very spoiled as Arsenal fans for the last, I'm going to say for the last 30 years, right? When George Graham took over, we won a couple of titles. Before that, we were an upper mid table team, top sort of seven. We were. Jace, look at our history.
No, dude. I remember sport in the 80s. We were lower half the table.
Exactly. Like we were. If you look at our history, we're sort of a. If you look at the history of our club throughout, right? We're probably, if you were to average it up, we would probably finish about fifth or sixth, maybe seventh. That's where we would finish if you took every single year and averaged our finish in the league. That's where we'd finish in the top flight of English football. We're very spoiled right now with the success that George Graham, let's forget about Bruce Rioch for a second, and then Arsene Wenger brought into our club. We're very spoiled from our historical sort of opportunities to be so consistently good for so long now. And this every team is going to have an upswing and every team is going to have a downswing. We're currently on our downswing. And yes, it sucks. And what we've got to do is, and the one thing I do sort of think that Wenger's trying to do right now is make sure that he understands we're on our downswing. And he's trying to make sure that our downswing isn't too far low that we can't, that our, when we get our upswing, that our upswing doesn't mean that we're only fighting for Champions League. I think he wants to leave the club in a place where we're fighting for first. We're fighting for first in the Premier League. We're fighting for a semifinal or a final in Champions League. That's what I think he wants. Is his execution of that great? I don't think it is. Okay, I think he's fighting that when he leaves us, he's trying to but we're not this team who, if you look over the last 80 years, we're not a team who's always been fighting for the top spot every single year. We're spoiled as fans,
But Jace, the nature of English football has been that no team has ever had the divine right to do that. You know, you look at Liverpool being relegated, Man United have been relegated. The Arsenal has been a massive club, okay? A massive club.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all.
But you know, yes, you know, we've never always challenged the title. But if Arsene Wenger truly wants us to challenge the title, surely our transfer policy has to be better than it has been over the last few years.
I'm not going to disagree with anything you said right now. I think it's more of a fan perspective than anything that thinks that we are entitled to a certain amount of success, and nobody in the English game is entitled to any amount of success. Have to work for it. You have to fight for it. I personally don't think we're fighting for it good enough from top to bottom. That obviously it goes back to our owner, but I don't think we're fighting for it as much as we should. And we're gonna get the results that we deserve when we don't continue to fight for it.
That's a fair comment. Right, on to the last question then, guys. We're all going to do this. John, you first. Marble Halls TV asks, are you unhappy with the performance or the result? At least we showed spirit, unlike the Liverpool game. John, your opinion.
I'm always unhappy when we lose, but I'm not surprised by the result. So I guess I'm not unhappy with the result in a weird way, if you know what I mean. As for the performance, disappointed in a few players, disappointed in the selection. Pleased that the intent was at least there, that he did try to adjust things. I think he did it wrong, but I think he tried to go about it the correct with the right intent. I think he did pick the wrong players for it, but he did try to change it rather than just go, we're just going to play our game and ignore whoever the opposition is.
Okay,
so yeah, better than Liverpool.
Yeah,
was the question again? I got caught up in the chat box.
How do you feel about this game in comparison to the Liverpool game?
I mean, this game, I think it should have finished 2-1, which was obviously much closer. I think we showed ourselves much better and put out a much better performance than we did, both defensively and offensively, than we did against Liverpool. And I think it's something that we can build on. It's not ideal, but I think if we can just tighten up and sort of not come into a match, I think maybe a little overwhelmed, that I think we're okay because we have the talent. The talent's there. The talent has to execute. The manager has to get the best out of the talent, and the talent has to take that best that they get during the week from the manager and turn that into actions on the pitch. And I think we're still capable of doing that. We just got to do it much more consistently than we have been this season and much more than we did today. But I think today is something to build off of, because I think a lot of people were expecting a lot more doom today than we saw.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst performance. I think team selection was wrong today.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as much as I'm not a fan of Francis Coughlin, that was a big ask for him today. And, you know, he did good things, he did bad things. You know, that's got to be expected. You can't be expected to be perfect.
Of all the goals, he definitely didn't contribute to the goals, for sure.
No. But it's that side of it. If you want a fluidity of performance, you need a good distributor in that position, which, you know, when Mustafi's there, he's great. Pair is a lot better than Coughlin. It's those sort of things. So, you know, we're also playing the best team in the land. And they really are a good team. So that's the difficulty of it. So, you know, we are where we are. It's not great. I don't feel good about it. It's not fun. You know, but, you know, onwards and upwards, you know. And that's it, I suppose. That's it for today, guys. First of all, Jace, thank you very much.
Cheers, pal. Appreciate it.
You're top man. John, thank you very much. You're top man.
Cheers, Jace. Good to be on, mate.
Excellent. To the chat box, other than one dickhead and an idiot, you've been superb. I like the discussion. It's been great today. It's on to the scum next. Let's hope for better. Thank you ever so much for being part of it, guys. You're absolutely brilliant. It's fantastic that you're in there. Let's look forward and hope we can win the NLD and go forward. Jace, switch us off. Thank you. Good night. Goodbye. And God save Ellis Mel and his dad. He's a top man.